Matthew 5:41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. For just a little while tonight, I want to preach to you the extra mile. The extra mile. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for your power tonight, God. Thank you for guests and friends and visitors that are with us tonight, people maybe we haven't seen for a while. Asking, God, that you would anoint me to be able to speak your word, oh Lord, as humbly as I can, and help us, oh Lord, to receive something from you, God, to be more like you when we walk out of this place more determined than ever before. I just give you all the praise and the worship in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, one last time, clap your hands and give Jesus some praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I'll just tell you a quick story before I get started. It just hit me. I was thinking about the extra mile. A couple years back, Brother Tyler had us do a She's for Christ or a Move the Mission. Now it's changed it to, it's called Move the Mission. And a Move the Mission walk. And we went out and got sponsors to sponsor us to walk. And we were supposed to walk, I think it was something like 5 miles. And Tyler and I started out and we tried to map it out. But what happened was when we got to the bridge over here, walking down the bike path, the one that used to be the trestle that went over the river, used to be a railroad track, now it's a bike path, it was closed off. So we had to go around and we just kind of guessed at it. Well, so we're all walking on the day of the walk, and I'm walking with Brad, my son, and we're walking, and we get out to, I think, Spiker Road, or it wasn't Spiker. We were at R.M. Davis Parkway. That's where we were, and Brad's like, man, I think we're walking too far. He said, and you know me, I'll be honest, I'm a little difficult when my boys start whining. I said, well, I won't tell you what I said to him. Praise God. I give him a hard time. And, you know, you're just weak and all this kind of stuff. Or you can't keep up with the old man. What's going on with you? That kind of thing. So we walked all that way. We got out there, and we realized that we did walk like 2 miles too far. Praise God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, I felt fine. Praise God. That extra couple miles did me good. It trust me, it did him good. He needed that. Praise God. Amen. So tonight, when we're talking about the extra mile, you may not want to let me and Brother Tyler map that mile out for you, because that extra mile might be 2 miles extra than what you're supposed to have to walk. Praise God. Amen. So I just put it this way. Tyler and I are extra mile people. Praise God. Amen. The extra mile. In ancient times, under Imperial Roman law, a Roman soldier could demand or command that a citizen carry his load for a Roman mile, which was a distance of 1,000 paces. This practice, formerly known as impressment, was no easy task, considering a soldier's backpack routinely weighed upwards of 100 pounds. So they find somebody and they throw 100 pounds on Sister Norma's back and say, hey, sis, you gotta carry this for 1,000 paces. That's a pretty tough job. And the Jews naturally resented being treated and humiliated in this way. They didn't like it, and you wouldn't either. So they carried the soldier's burden for 1 mile and walked not one step. They probably, as they walked, counted out loud, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 1,000. And when they got to that 1,000th step, they dropped that load and said, I'm not carrying it anymore. I'm done. I've kept the law. I've done what was required of me. You can imagine how hard it would be to be required to help an invading army's soldiers carry their gear and make life easier for them to occupy your country. I hope we never have to go through that. I hope that we never have to experience that. I wonder sometimes. Praise God. But you can imagine how they felt. They're in your country. You don't want them here. They're telling you what to do. You're carrying their load to make life easier on them so that they can continue to make life harder on you. It's not fun. Amen. It is to some degree. Amen. But Jesus says, don't just do what's required. Go above, go beyond what they ask of you and what is required by law. He says, don't go just 1 mile, go 2 miles. Don't go 1,000 paces, go 2,000 paces. I didn't expect to get many amens on that. Praise God. I know that there must have been some Jews in the crowd that day that were listening to Jesus who were shaking their heads over that statement, saying, I don't know about that one, Jesus. That's a tough one. It's hard enough to go 1 mile, and now you're asking me to go an extra mile? Many of the things that the Lord asks of us who are striving to follow him, and you ought to be striving to follow him. Being a Christian is more than just saying, I'm sorry for sinning. Amen. It's more than in even repenting and of sin and being baptized and even being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a life. It's a life commitment that we're striving to follow him. When he told Peter, James, and John on the boat that day, come follow me, what he was saying was not just go where I go. He was saying do what I do. Walk like I walk. Talk like I talk. Be me to the world. So he asked of us who are striving to follow him, those of us who are wanting to be Christ-like, he requires requires more out of us. And many of the things that he asks of us require a great deal of humility and more effort than what is commonly expected. I didn't expect to hear any amens on that either. Amen. I can't mention names because just get myself in trouble. But I know do what I have to and not one thing more kind of people. But see, that's what I'm preaching against tonight, though. In our walk with God, we can't have that mentality. We can't just have that. I'm going to do exactly what I have to do, not one thing more. I'm not going to do any more. I always know those people. Those are the people who always complain or whine about having to do anything extra. I don't think that's necessary, preacher. I don't think I should have to do that. Where's that in the Bible? They start looking for it because they don't want to do anything extra because either they're lazy or they really just want to do the least amount they have to get by. Oh, man. Oh, pastor said lazy. Oh, now you're really offended, aren't you? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus' followers are expected to go the extra mile. As a matter of fact, when you examine some of the other statements that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 5 in his famous Sermon on the Mount, you will find that going the extra mile was in so many of the things that he taught. This was a doctrine of Jesus's. This was a teaching of Jesus. An extra mile, the extra mile doctrine, you might call it. It was kind of the underlying theme of his teaching. For instance, he said in Matthew 5, 38 and 39, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now I'll say this because Brother Logan used to say this. Or they said Brother Logan. I never heard Brother Logan say this. But they say that Brother Logan said this. You don't know who Brother Logan is. He's the guy that baptized me in Jesus' name. But they say that Brother Logan used to say, the Bible said turn the other cheek. It doesn't say what to do after that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm guessing that extra mile doctrine is still in effect after the second slap, I guess. Praise God. If you're not smart enough to get out of the way after the second slap, you're probably going to get a third one anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. All the stories I could tell you, praise the Lord. Oh, man, you wouldn't believe half of them. I watched a guy go down the row slapping people one night, and the guy on the end, he was smart enough to roll out and get out of the way. That was me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I didn't watch him slap a row of people. I'm not going to stand there and let him slap me too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said, turn the other cheek to him also. So allowing someone to get away was slapping you once. A slap in the face. Anybody ever been slapped in the face? There's something about your temperature that rises right now. Amen. Yeah, praise God. But one slap in the face would be difficult to endure. Even the law of Moses said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The law said, they slap me in the face, they get slapped right back. They knock my tooth out, I'm knocking their tooth out. That's what the law says. That's what the boundary is. That's what what's the requirement of it. That's what I'm allowed to do. But Jesus didn't say, do nothing when someone slaps you on the cheek. He said, turn the other cheek to them also. What? He says, I want you to go beyond what you're allowed or what's required. I don't want you just to be that person who you take a slap, you can give a slap. He said, I want you to turn the other cheek. He said, in other words, what he's saying is, I don't want you to do the least. I want you to go above and beyond. I don't want you to be the kind of person who just says, well, this is the rule. I can, even the rule said this. You legalist. Amen. So don't just take one slap. You got to take two. And who knows? Maybe that shows how tough you are. Bring me another one. I think Judy could take another slap. Praise God. I'm not slapping Judy, I promise you. Praise God. I'm not testing anybody that way. Praise the Lord. See, that's going the extra mile. That's doing more than what's expected. It may seem like the Lord is asking a lot, but you remember the slaps that he took in the face? It's read about it in Isaiah 50. It's seen it today. And we know when we read about him on trial, the slaps that he took in the face at his trial, and how they blindfolded him and how they spit in his face. You ever been spit in your face? And you know what he said to them when they done that? How many of you guys here got beards? Can you imagine somebody just grabbing you by the beard, just pulling it out? That's what they did. And it's not like your nice, clean-cut beards. I'm talking about Jewish beards. You know what he said to him? Nothing. He took it. He took it. Amen. He did nothing. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. Then again, Jesus also said in his Sermon on the Mount in verse 40, that if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Really? That's like they sued me for $500, so I just gave him $1,000. Now, you got to have a right attitude, because I remember I got grounded for a week one time, me and Donnie. And I said, well, let's just make it two. And my mom was ready to acquiesce. She said, well, let's go for three. I said, let's make it an even month. Well, while we're doing a month, let's just go for 6 weeks. Well, let's go for 2 months. I think I was 3 months grounded by the time it was done, and it only lasted a few days. I knew that. Praise God. She wasn't going to want me around the house that much. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine being sued and not defending yourself? Wow. Especially if you're in the right. You ever been accused of something and you're in the right? It's natural to just defend yourself, right? One of the most natural things to do on earth is defend yourself against those who bring false accusations against you, right? But that's exactly what Jesus is asking us to do. See, you think it's supposed to be so easy to serve God that only weak people serve God. Jesus is your crutch. I had somebody tell me one time. I'm like, why? You think living for Jesus is a crutch? Living for Jesus can be difficult. But let me tell you, the rewards of serving God outweigh anything he ever asked me to do. Always, every time. Asking us to do that. Jesus said that we should do more than that. He said, give them what they ask and then give them more. Really? You see, that's what I'm going to have to pray about. I know your will, but I'm not praying to know your will. I'm praying, God, let my will line up with your will. I need to be in the garden sweating blood. Really? Praise God. In Jesus' day, people were not wealthy. Many times their clothes were all they had to sleep in all night long. To give up their cloak as well as their coat would leave them without anything to keep them warm at night. That's asking a lot, Lord. Seems like he's asking a lot of his people, don't it? But while Jesus was hanging on the cross, they were casting lots for his coat. See, he's not going to ask anything of us what he wasn't willing to do himself. Amen. He's not standing up and saying, you do it, but what's good for thee, but not for me. He said, I'm just asking you to be like me. And I promise you, with obedience comes power. With disobedience comes a loss of power. But when we are obedient to God, there's power that comes with it. Jesus wasn't concerned with an earthly coat. He was preparing to put on clothes from another world, a coat of glory. That's what I want. I want to be robed with his glory. I want his glory to be upon my life. I want his anointing to be upon me. Praise God. Extra mile people have an extra anointing. I'm not saying you won't make it to heaven doing the basics, doing the minimum. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll have power with God if you're an extra mile person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Lord will never ask you to give up something without replacing it with something better. It requires some faith to go the extra mile. But our God is faithful. And he will make it well worth any sacrifice you have to go through. I'm going to tell you something. One of the keys to successful ministry is sacrifice. Doing more. I watch people give up this and give up that for their ministry. I've watched people give up sleep, fast things, whatever they had to do, whatever they had to go through so that they could have a successful ministry. And I watched God bless their ministry because of their sacrifice. I'm telling you something. When we give up things, when we go the extra mile with the Lord, amen. I'm telling you right now, God will bless you. You just hang tight. The devil's telling you it wasn't worth it, but it will be worth it. I'm promising you that. I'm telling you today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We live in a world where people expect maximum returns on minimum investments. It's true. I want to give the least I have to and get the most. All you got to do is go to Walmart. More for less. It used to be supposed to, it was supposed to be more products for less money. Now it's more money for less products. And you got to bag it yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then you get to, then they're brave enough to give you a survey at the end. I don't even give them anything. I just hit cancel. I ain't got time to mess with you people. Pray you give them a one every time. Praise God. It's a good thing that they don't. They're not a place in there where you can write notes, so they would be getting all kinds of grief. Praise God. So we live in a world that wants maximum returns on minimum investments. They have a law. There's a law that actually states this. And it's complicated to know the whole law, but some of this law, anyway, is known as Zipf's law. Anybody ever hear Zipf's law? Other than Brother Powers, probably. Praise God. Amen. Zipf's law. Zipf's law is the theory that one single primary principle in any human action, including verbal communication, is the expenditure of the least amount of effort to accomplish a task, even if that's talking. That's why people get lazy with our speech. And we leave out adverbs, and we learn to talk like we text. I speak text, praise God. Not me, because that's how I text. So if you ever get words that shouldn't be in there, it's because the text thing didn't listen to me correctly. Praise God. Amen. But it's known as the principle of least effort and the path of least resistance. That's what people want. That's what they want. The people of God's kingdom are not those people. We're not those who take the path of least resistance or put forth the least amount of effort required. That's not what God is asking of us. We stand in contrast to Zipf's law. Zipf's law is the antithesis of the law of Christ. Because the law of Christ isn't do the least you have to get by. Amen. God's people are the extra mile people. We're the ones that don't just do the least. We're going to give our all. Deuteronomy chapter 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thine heart and a little of thine soul and some of thy might. Is that what it said? Did it say love the Lord with as much as you want to, much as you're in the mood to? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thine might. Amen. God is not wanting us to give a half-hearted effort. He's not wanting us to give him less than he wants. He wants us to love him with everything, to serve him with everything. Amen. What's within us and without. God wants all of us. Praise God. He's not looking for part-time followers. He's not looking for followers who says, well, I don't think that's necessary. I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do this. And they start picking and choosing and ripping out. You might as well just rip out some of the pages of the Bible. Well, I don't like that. Don't agree with that. Don't agree with that. Don't agree with that. He meant pretty soon as well, whatever I like. Oh, the blessings. We'll stick with that. Praise God. We are those who love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Amen. That is with all of our thinking. We love him. We love him with all of our feelings. Amen. We love him with all of our being. Everything that's within us, that's what God is wanting. Our whole person to love him. Our love for the Lord is active. It's not passive. Amen. It's extra mile love. Praise the Lord. We're not those who draw near to him with our mouths, but our hearts are far from him. What we are in word, we're also in deed. We can't be like those who follow Ziff's law. We cannot be like those who give as little as possible of our time, our money, and ability, but expect God to always be there. Talk to these folks. Got cornered at a wedding one time. The bride was taking forever. She was running us all late. It was outside in the hot, and everybody was roasting. Not me. I was inside waiting on her. Me and the groomsmen, and they all cornered me. If God's God, why does he allow this, and why does he allow that, and why does he allow that? I mean, they had a list. And I asked them, I said, did you go to church last Sunday? No. Why not? Well, they started coming up with this. I said, stop. That's not why you didn't go. You didn't go because you didn't want to. I said, see, what you want is God to give you everything that you want that's right, to fix everything that's wrong, but then to stay out of your business when you want to do what you want to do. I said, here's the thing with free will. People make choices, and sometimes those choices that one person makes negatively affects another person. God can't jump in the middle every time somebody makes a decision that's going to hurt somebody else or that he doesn't agree with and say, nope, we're not going to do that. But then when they say, God, get out of my business, I'll go to church when I want to go to church. I'll live how I want to live. I'll do what I want to do. And then God's not a good God if he doesn't jump in and save you out of all the messes you make for yourself or the messes that other people put upon you. Amen. But he's given you a will, and he's given you the ability to make decisions, and you've got to make those decisions, my friend. Hallelujah. You've got to be the one that says, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do the right thing. Praise God. You and I have to make those decisions. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need to have an extra mile attitude no matter what we're doing. No matter what we're doing, we need to have an extra mile attitude. We do. The key to doing whatever it is that we're doing, the key to being an extra mile person in everything we're doing is simply this. Do everything you do for Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. Colossians 2 or 3 verses 23 and 24 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. I'm not working for the man. I'm working for the King. Hallelujah. Knowing that from the Lord, he says, you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not serving man when you're working at the factory. When you're running that machine, you're working for Jesus. Amen. You ought to be running that machine to the best of your ability. You ought not be slacking or sitting on the table when you ought to be taking parts off. Praise God. Amen. The Message Bible says it this way. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. I'm working for God. You thought you were working for whoever. Jason, you're not working for Jason. You're working for Jesus. Praise God. You're not working for the customer. You're working for Jesus. The jacket, when you're blowing up rocks or whatever you're doing, loading them here and there, fixing all stuff, welding stuff, trying to burn yourself up, all that good stuff. You're not working for yourself. You're not working for whoever. I don't even know who you work for, Barrett or whoever, praise God. You're working for Jesus. That's who you work for. And when we work and we do what we do for him, if you're a stay-at-home person and you're at the house, amen, you're keeping your house clean. You're doing the dishes. You're doing the laundry. You're doing things. You're doing it for Jesus, not even just for your family. You're doing it for him. Doesn't matter where you're at or what you're doing. He said, do it all as unto the Lord and not to men. Hallelujah. So if you're producing a product, produce it for the Lord. Remember, the Lord's really your employer. If you're in customer service, amen. Whether you're a waitress, you might be a nurse, you might be a cashier, you might be in law enforcement, amen. Do more for the people that you're serving than is required. Go above and beyond. And I hear stories of people doing that. It just thrills me when people say, well, because their job only says they have to do this. But they went and did more. Well, in the world's eyes, that's a suck up. But see, when you're working for God and you're not working for the man, I'm not sucking up to them. I'm sucking up to him. I'm looking for some brownie points. I want a bonus. I want a raise, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm working for him. Hallelujah. Go the extra mile. Apostolics should have the best work ethic of anyone, anywhere. I'm going to say it again. Apostolics, you, amen, me, we should have the best work ethic of anyone, anywhere. We shouldn't be known as the lazy ones that always are calling in and we're always late to work. Amen. That ought not be us. We ought to be giving our best effort at everything we do because we don't work for the man. We work for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Employers should prefer to have apostolics work for them because of our integrity and our work ethic. Jesus was an extra mile person. Just today, and I'll be honest, you know when I started putting this together? Back in 2023. Every time I go to preach it, it's not been able to preach it. Something else takes its place. So I just finished it up today. And this morning I'm reading Mark chapter 6. And I read how Jesus spent an entire day. An entire day. Look, I'm tired after 40 minutes of preaching to y'all. You all are tired. You don't want to hear me no more. Everybody's ready to go get something to eat or go somewhere else. Whatever. Praise God. Everybody but Sister Pam. Praise God. You're ready to rock. I got you. But Jesus spent an entire day teaching, ministering, healing, and blessing people. And at the end of the day, he performed the miracle of the loaves by feeding, they said 5,000 men besides women and children. So there's what, 20,000 plus people there? He feeds them with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, 12 basketfuls left over when he's finished. So he does all that. All day he's been there ministering. All day you think he's tired in that Palestinian or Palestine sun and Israel sun? Sure he is. He's wore out. He's had a whole day of it. So after the day's over, he sends the people away and he puts his disciples in a boat and says, go to the other side of the lake and I'll meet you over there later. Meanwhile, he goes up into the mountain for an all-night prayer meeting. After preaching and ministering all day, he goes for an all-night prayer meeting. He's an extra mile savior. He really is. But that's not it. Somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., the fourth watch of the night, he walks out on the sea because he sees his disciples in a terrible storm. And the Bible says that he stops the storm. You know the story. Peter comes walking out on the water. They go back together and then they go to the shore. He's been up all day ministering, all night praying. He just saves his disciples. Then after doing all that he's done the day before and being up all night long, when he reaches the other side of the lake, the Bible says right away the people of the region recognize who he is and they come and chase him down to be healed. I'm clocking out, baby. I've given 2+ miles. Amen. I'm building up bonus points. Praise God. I'm getting all kinds of free stays at hotels and everything for all that. Hallelujah. I had to pay, if an evangelist ever comes and does that, it'll cost us $20,000 a day. talk about going the extra mile. He could have left after he was done preaching and ministering all day long without even having to feed the people. His disciples said, it's late. Send them home. It's 8:30, preacher, time to shut up. Get out of the way. Going out to get something to eat. His own disciples said, send everybody away. You know, he could have calmed that storm that his disciples were in from the mountain. The Bible said he seen them in a storm. He could have said, shh, I'm going to bed. I'll see him later. He could have laid down in that mountain. Nobody was there. Got some peace and quiet. His disciples are on their way over there. They can deal with whoever's over there when they get there. I calmed the storm for him. He could have said that. But instead, he walks out on the sea. It's just what he needed, to walk down the mountain and out into the sea. He certainly could have told the crowd on the other side of the lake to come back later that evening for a healing service. But he didn't. When Jesus told those in the crowd that day, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you're compelled to go 1 mile, go 2. He wasn't asking, that's right, he wasn't asking more of them than what he was willing to do himself. Now, he went way far out there, I think. Who knows? Who knows? Praise God. Maybe one of these days we'll be baptized and so many people will have to do it in shifts. Let's not just go above and beyond. Let's do it with the right attitude. And I'll close it with this here in a second, but our attitude in which we serve the Lord and others with matters to God. Don't just go the extra mile. Do it with a smile on your face. Don't just go the extra mile. Be glad to do it. Be glad that you're able to serve the Lord. Be glad that you're able to come to church. Oh, I got to get up and go to church today. Reminds me of Josh. When Josh was little, we lived over there where Brother Jason lives. And I still remember, I'd go in the morning. I just torture my kids to death. I'd go in and I'd be dead asleep. And I'd say, rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Oh, they would just be quiet. Josh would say, is there one church today or two churches? We used to have church on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I'd say, well, it's Sunday, we got two churches. And he would go, oh, no, two churches. Oh, no, there's no fun there. No fun there, really? No fun? As they hang Daniel Strunks from the balcony, him and Michael? As they tape him to a chair and spin him around till he almost throws up. As they go outside and shovel the sidewalks and take every bit of the snow and clear out everybody's car, as nice as they were, and they pile all up around Brother Dan's truck to where he can't get in. Never seen Brother Dan mad except for that day. No fun there, huh? What do you do for fun, Josh? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to do it with the right attitude. We want to have a right spirit. Our attitude in which we serve the Lord and others matters. Jesus teaches us what kind of attitude we're supposed to have. Luke 17, 7 through 10. I'll let you stand so you know that I'm getting there. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? He said, I think not. He said, so likewise, so like that servant, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Could you imagine, Brother Jason? Could you imagine telling the people of this generation after they've worked all day that they have to come in and serve someone else food before they get to eat other than a mom? Could you imagine what the kids would say? What? I worked all day, now I got to come and wait till you're done eating so I can eat? Sure you have. Doesn't sound like a very hospitable boss, does it? But the attitude of those we serve and those that we work for, because you may have a boss that doesn't care about you, doesn't care what happens to you. You may work for some of the worst people there are. But it's attitude. It's attitude that matters. Your attitude, not their attitude. Because you can't fix their attitude. You can't help their attitude. You can't help how they treat you. Anybody here ever had a bad boss? That's about everybody. It's about everybody. Praise God. Does it matter? We're the servant. We've got to maintain a good attitude. One of a servant. Verse 10 said that our attitude should be, we've done our duty. We've done our duty. We need to go the extra mile in our attitude as well as our service. Because if we have the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude, does it matter if we've went the extra mile? It won't count if we do it with the wrong attitude. So let's have an extra mile mindset in all that we do, especially as we do the work of the Lord. And according to the Lord, everything we do, whether it's at work or at home or in the church, we're working for God. We're doing it unto Him. And we need to have an extra mile mentality in what we do and in the attitude that we do it with. You want to please the Lord? Be an extra mile person. You want the anointing of God on you? You want the blessings of God in your life? Be an extra mile. You would have them. Amen. Won't you make your way to the altar tonight? We'll just come and seek the Lord for a few minutes before we leave. Maybe allow this message to sink inside of our hearts tonight. Allow this message to sink inside of our spirit. Apparently, the Lord knew just when we would need to hear it. So someone tonight or some people tonight need to hear what I just said. Maybe you need to hear it right now. Maybe you're going to need to hear it somewhere in the near future. And that boss is going to be a jerk. That person you're serving is going to treat you bad. And you're going to want to spit in their food, but you can't. You want to tell them off, but you can't. You want to defend yourself, but extra mile people don't defend themselves. They let God defend them. Did you hear what I said to you? How many read Radically Apostolic? Remember what he said in there? Brother Robinette, and I'm closing with this. Don't panic. I mean it this time. Brother Robinette said that he was in the car with his pastor. He was driving, and there was another pastor in the back seat. And I probably won't get this exactly right, but go read it yourself. But someone called his pastor and berated him, just giving him the business. And everybody in the car could hear it coming across the cell phone. Pastor just sort of talked him off the ledge because, you know, the Bible still says that a soft answer turns away wrath. So he just was polite and calm, was temperate. That's also a fruit of the Spirit. Calmed the guy down, got it worked out, and hung up. The pastor in the back was about to come unglued. He was like, you should have taught them. You should not let them disrespect ministry that way. It was your chance to teach them not to act that way. And Brother Robinette's pastor looked at Brother Robinette, didn't even address the guy. He said, Brother Robinette, he said, if you will defend yourself when you're attacked, God will let you, and you will lose every time. He said, but if you allow God to defend you, you will win every time. God will defend you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. Give it to God and let God take care of it. Amen. With every eye closed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I'm asking for your help to be an extra mile person. Extra mile in our attitude. Extra mile in our work ethic. Extra mile in how we serve you. To not do the least. But Lord, help us to stop on Ziff's law. And love you with all of our heart. With all of our soul, with all of our might, in Jesus' name. Help us, God. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands and just love the Lord right now. Everybody, come on. Just love the Lord. She's going to sing this. We're going to worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. She's going to sing. You're going to worship. We're going to praise Him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.